truly good to be in the Lord's house tonight, and it's always, there's no better place that I'd rather be in all the world than to be in the house of the Lord. But surely need your prayers tonight. You know, seemingly that I've had a really trying day. I walked down a little bit earlier today. I walked down and went back in the woods and prayed and had the lost on my heart and on my mind. And it's been on my mind all day today. And this might be a rather, to some of us, a rather elementary thought that we have, but yet it's needed. There's nothing new to be preached. Amen. It's needed today, and if you're here and lost, we would pray and would hope that you would listen and listen with an open heart. But it's good to be here tonight, and I thank God for salvation. I thank God for my Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, that paid the debt for my sins, that I might have everlasting life. I'm thankful for that Thursday night in July 1977, when I met my Lord, and when He spoke peace to my soul. I want to read some scriptures found in the 16th chapter of Acts, and we want to start there, and we see here that just before this, we see that Paul and some, there'd been a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the, this is the 14th verse, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord openeth, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace, unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. Now I'm going to stop reading right there, and we see this account, and we see in this reading a demonstration of the great power of God. We see the miraculous things that were done. We see how that Paul cast the spirit of divination from this woman, and these men were angry because that was their livelihood, and they So they desired, and they took Paul and Silas and charged them. And we see here that they were tried and they were beaten. They were given stripes. And then they were taken to the jailer, who was charged to keep them safely. And he, we see, thrust him into the inner prison just so that to make sure that that they were steadfast and wouldn't be brought out. But then we see on down here in just a little bit, we see God's great power. I pray that if you're here and lost tonight, my friend, that you can see the power of God. I pray that if you're here and lost tonight, that God's Spirit will come on the scene, and my friend, and will take the message of God's Word and take the testimony of God's people and take, my friend, those things and my friend, cause you to realize that God is real tonight. I'm thankful tonight that I know that God is real, that He dwells in my heart tonight, that I know Him in the free pardon of sin. You know, I think Peter said over there, I believe it was about 1st or 2nd Peter, either in the 1st or 2nd chapter, he said, I'm not, telling you divine fables or hearsays, but I've seen myself the majesty of Christ Jesus. And I'm thankful today, brother, let me tell you, I've seen His majesty for myself. I know Him tonight, you know. And listen, if you're here tonight and you're lost, I'm telling you today, my friend, there's many people in the world that's trying to preach Jesus. They're trying to tell you how to escape hell. They try to tell you how to get to the on the road to glory. And my friend, they don't even know Him themselves. But if you want to know how to get to heaven, you find one of God's people. You find someone that truly knows Jesus, that knows what they're talking about, that's experienced, my friend, that one-on-one encounter with Christ Jesus. And my friend, let me tell you, I'm thankful tonight to say, not because of anything that I've done that makes me worthy, but brother, I'm thanks be unto God, I know the Lord tonight.
Amen.
I know that He's real. He's real. My God is real, as the song says. I can feel Him in the depths of my heart. But my friend, God made Himself manifest there with Paul and Silas there and the prisoners in there that were in the prison. They were shackled. And it said along about midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Brother, there's power in prayer.
Amen.
I believe there's power in prayer. I believe people have been praying. I tried to pray today. I felt the Lord's presence. There's power in prayer. But listen, Paul and Silas, I said at about midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And brother, I tell you what, I believe that old jailer heard it.
Amen.
I believe he heard what was going on. He'd seen the evidence. He'd heard the things that transpired. And it said, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. You know, sure, there's earthquakes, but I tell you what, I believe this one was instigated by the power of God. There's things, a lot of times things happen, but let me tell you something. I tell you, God has a reason and a purpose for things. And I tell you, brother, there was a reason and a purpose for that earthquake to take place. God sent that, and it shook that prison, and their shackles fell off. Not just one or two, but every one of them. Oh, aren't you glad today that Jesus can loosen those shackles? Oh, let me tell you, sometimes us as God's people, we get tied down with the troubles and the affairs, my friend, of this life. We get worried about things, my friend. We worry about how we're going to pay the bills. We worry about our relationships. And we worry about our jobs. But praise be unto God, how God got a God, I've got a Lord that can take care of all those things. Amen. He's able. Amen. He's able. And my friend, let me tell you, those shackles fell away. I want you to know. And the keeper, it says the doors were open. And the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open. If you're here lost today, I pray that you'll awaken out of your sleep. I pray that the power of God will come on the scene and shake this place up, and God's people will be loosed of our shackles and have the freedom to serve God and to worship Him and to lift Him up before a lost and dying world.
Amen. Amen.
And you know, that jailer was... he had a wonderful blessing and a privilege to be a witness to those things. I'm glad that you're here. You know, if you're here and lost, I'm glad that you've got the wonderful privilege of being able to be a witness to the Lord's power, to His Spirit coming on the scene for with Him meeting with His people and pouring His Spirit out upon them. My friend, let me tell you today, God is real.
Amen.
When He saved my soul. Oh, what a wonderful thing.
Amen.
To know the Lord. What a wonderful thing. But listen, we want to go on. This man came and he came forth and he realized, oh my goodness, these prison doors are open. The prisoners are free. And it said that he started perhaps to take a sword to kill himself because he knew he'd been given the command, to keep those, keep Paul and Silas steadfastly and safe in the prison, that they'd not escape. And he expected, no doubt, during that time. You know, nowadays you get fired for messing up. But I tell you, back then, it's pretty rough. You might get killed. You know, he knew that there would be a penalty if he'd lost those prisoners. Perhaps he'd be killed. Perhaps he would lose his life. And he started to kill himself. And Paul said, no. Said, you wait a minute, we're all here. We're all here. And he came in and bowed down and trembling. He said, dear sirs, what must I do to be saved? What's a big question right there? Big question. What must I do to be saved? That's a question that man has been asking down through the years. And my friend, we see here, and look tonight, we see that there's responsibility. We see that, my friend, that God has made the way, that He provided a sacrifice for your sin. The Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins.
Amen.
He said, the wages of sin is death.
Amen.
All of those, if you've heard and know and learned, you know, in the Old Testament, we see it began with Cain and Abel, the sacrifices that were made, my friend. But God required a sacrifice.
Amen.
We know in Hebrews it said that all those sacrifices, they would sacrifice the bullocks and sheep, and it says with the firstborn, the firstlings of the flock. And He told them, said, you sacrifice those, but make sure that it's without spot and without blemish. He said, don't you sacrifice something that is lame or imperfect or has a blemish, my friend. Why was that? You know, those sacrifices, Hebrews says, that they never did wash away any sins. They never did, my friend, was any good for remittance of sin. But my friend, let me tell you, it was symbolic, it was a pattern, it was a picture of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. It was a picture of Jesus Christ. And Brother Taylor so beautifully talked about last night about how that he was tried and he was scourged and he was taken to that old rugged cross. And my friend, he was nailed to that cross even though that he knew no sins. But he bore our sins to the cross at Calvary and paid the debt for them.
Amen.
Every one of them.
Amen.
Listen. And, the jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" God has taken care of all the hard stuff.
Man.
He took care of it. See, there had to be a price paid for our transgressions. There had to be a price paid for our sins, my friend. And it was paid for by the blood of Christ Jesus, the Holy Lamb of God.
Amen.
A determinate council that met before the foundations of the world. God knew. Now this is how smart God, He's a lot smarter than us. You know, it's hard for me to fathom knowing what's going to happen before it happens. But see, God can do that. He knows exactly what's going to happen before it happens. He knew that there'd be a little 9-year-old boy at Maple Grove Church one night in 1977 that was lost and separated from Him. That would be crying out and calling upon Him. My friend, listen. Tonight, I tell you, if you're lost tonight, my friend, I've been in your shoes before. I've been sitting in your seat. I know how it is to be lost.
Amen.
But praise be to God, I know what it is to be saved.
Amen.
I know what it's like, my friend, to pour your heart out unto God. And my friend, all of a sudden, my friend, God reaches down and my friend touches your soul. And that burden just rolls away.
Amen.
That trouble, that conviction of sin. So many times. First, you've got to hear. What must I do to be saved? You know, and we see here that we see later that they expounded Him. They preached to Him the Word of God. I believe it's in Romans, if I can turn over there right quick. We can find. Let me tell you, there's some responsibilities on your part. Something that has to be done. Now listen, don't get me wrong. Salvation is free. It's been paid for. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are ye saved." Grace is the unmerited favor of God. In other words, it's something that you get that you don't deserve. None of us deserve an eternal home in heaven. None of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve this wonderful peace and joy that we have in our hearts. But oh, I'm so thankful tonight. Oh, that God imputes it to us. As the righteousness of Christ. You know, what saves us is not our righteousness, but it's the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So first, you've got to, in Romans, the 10th chapter, I want to read you just a few scriptures. And if you're here tonight, and it talks about over there. And it says, and I'm going to start with the 8th verse, but of the 10th chapter of Romans, those of you that might want to follow along, it says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And it goes on down and says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So listen, you've got to hear the word of God. Many times the disciples preached on the day of Pentecost. Peter told them, said, "Hearken unto me, listen to me." My friend, you need to listen. You need to be in God's house every time you get an opportunity, my friend, where you can hear the word of God.
Amen.
where you can hear it preached, where you can hear God's people witness, where you can, hear the things that, and you know, God speaks through His messengers. He speaks through those that have been called to carry His Word. He speaks through His people. He speaks through His Word. But listen, you know, over there we know, my friend, that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from the book of Isaiah. We see on the road, and the Lord sat down and told Philip to go and meet Him there. And this man, he was reading from the book, and Philip asked him, said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man guide me?" You know, you need to hear the Word expounded upon. You need to hear people testify what Jesus done for them. You need to hear the Word preached in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit.
Man.
You need to be in God's house. You know, and us as God's people, you know, we need to, you know, it talks about, and I missed some of the scripture there. I failed to read far enough, but it speaks over there about those that herald the Word. It says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, privily, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the earth." There before He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" You know, it's important for us as for those that's been called to preach, called to be heralders of the gospel, to not sit down on the Lord. And I tell you something else. It's important for the lay members of the church, man, female, either one, that when the Lord knocks on our hearts to move and to testify or to witness, we need to follow His Spirit. That those that are lost can hear. You know, we know the Word is preached, and we know that it talks about the seed being sown. And you know, I try to raise a garden every once in a while. It needs to be, when you work up a garden, it needs to be cultivated, it needs to be sown, it needs to be watered, it needs to be fertilized. You know, sometimes you just put the seed in the ground, and you won't get much of a turnout. There won't be much fruit. You know, it's dry up in Ohio right now, very different from the way it is down here. And I've got tomato plants, and I've had to water them just about every night that it didn't rain. I'd try to keep up with the weather, and you know, it's dry up there. And if I didn't water them, they'd be dead. They may be dead now, I don't know. But listen, my friend, you've got to listen and hear with an open heart the Word of God. I pray, and let me tell you, I believe the Spirit of God directs His Word, and it will deliver to your heart and make it real. It's a living Word. He'll make it real to your heart. Let me tell you, I believe when you're at a place and they're preaching the truth, I believe that God lets you know, hey, that's the truth you're hearing there. I believe that His Spirit bears witness with His truth. I've been to places and heard sermons and been online and heard sermons that, my friend, was not true. There was no Spirit in that. And brother, I knew it, but I've been off and I've listened to sermons, brother, that would stir my heart.
Amen.
Stir my soul. Brother, I knew that I was listening to the truth. I knew I was listening to the Word of God. Listen, my friend. You've got to hear. You've got to listen intently, my friend. It says, and let me tell you, and after you listen, I want you to know, you've got to believe.
Amen.
But I'm not just talking about any kind of belief. You know, Isaiah said, "Who hath believed our report?" Who hath believed our report? The scripture says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, belief, trust. And let me tell you, let me add this to you. Repentance. See, faith and repentance are two inseparable graces. Let me tell you, you can't have faith in God without turning from the world.
Amen.
And turning to Him. And I tell you, you can't do that by yourself. It takes the Spirit of God dwelling with your heart.
Amen.
Is God is He dealing with your heart tonight? Is He troubling you? And you know, you've got to realize one of the first things by hearing the Word of God, it says when the law came, sin revived and I died. My friend, you've got to realize that you're a sinner in the sight of God.
Amen.
The old publican went down to the temple and he smote upon his breast. He said, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And it said he went down to his house justified rather than the other.
Amen.
Are you a sinner tonight? Do you realize that you're a sinner in the sight of God? That you've transgressed His law? That you are separated from Him? And what separates you from Him is your sins. You've got to realize that you're a sinner. You've got to realize you're in need of a Savior. So you've got to hear and you've got to believe and trust and repent. Let me tell you, and why I say they're inseparable graces, they're graces because they're granted. You know, it says one over there, after the Gentiles were saved, they come among the Jews, and it says, and they were saying, "Well, is he okay?" And it's talking about one of the Gentiles, and they say, "Well, we see that God has granted repentance unto salvation unto the Gentiles." See, we seek after God. The Bible says seek after Him. Over there it talks about the unknown God, ye men of Athens, and they were they had idols erected, and they had monuments erected all over Athens. And Paul saw this and he was moved within his heart. God's people, are we moved when we see people all out in the world? I can sit in a parking lot at Walmart and I can look at people walking by, just tons of people, hundreds of people, thousands of people, people that are going out to the ball games and going to the racetracks and my friend, buying the beer and doing this and doing that, and they put their joy and their faith and their lives tied into something, brother, that nothing one day after a while.
Amen.
And I think, Lord, have mercy. It moves me. It stirs my heart. You know, there's times I thought, boy, I wish I could just get out of the car and start preaching right here in a parking lot of Walmart. You know, they'd probably take me out of there. You know, maybe I let the devil cheat me out of that blessing. But listen, my friend, our heart should be moved by those that are lost in their sins, that are out worshiping other things besides the one true and living God. There's only one God. He's a jealous God.
Amen.
He wants to be worshiped. He wants to be honored. He wants to be glorified. He wants you to come unto Him. You've got to hear. You've got to believe. You've got to repent. And see, repentance is a turning. A turning away from sin and the things of the world. A turning toward God. But see, if you're turning toward God, you've got to have an object to turn to. You got to have an object of faith to believe in, to trust in. That's why I say that repentance and faith are inseparable graces. You can't repent unto God without having faith in Him. And you can't have true faith in God without repenting.
Amen.
And it takes the Spirit of God. And now listen, if God has been dealing with you and He's troubling your heart and causing you to be worried
friend, your eternal life, and causing you to realize that things just aren't right between you and Him. My friend, God is dealing with you.
Amen.
He's drawing you to an altar of repentance. I know how that is. The Lord drew me. I want you to know, and you know, the problem is, there's so many people in the world that when God starts dealing with them, some of them will run away, say, I'm never going to dark the church house door again. Some will go out into the world and try to fill that trouble and that void and that sinful feeling, that conviction in their hearts. Try to get rid of it. They'll try to wash it away with alcohol. They try to, take it away in some sort of drugs or worldly pleasures or things of that nature. They'll try to fill it with worldly goods, my friend. But I tell you right now, my friend, there's no substitute for Christ Jesus. There's no other name given under heaven whereby that we must be saved. You know, some of you think, well, you know, look at the folks in the world. We, you know, some of you young people, you look at these great athletes and you look at movie stars and people that have a lot of power and stuff, a lot of money, and you think, boy, they just got the perfect life. You know, they just well to do. But listen, you go and you look at some of these Hollywood tabloids. You look at some of these sports news and things of that nature. And you see people, my friend, that are in mental institutes. Maybe they tried to kill themselves. People that are in places of rehab trying to draw out from alcohol abuse or drug abuse. You'll see them in divorce court because their relationships are shambles. And why is that? Because they don't know true peace, which is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the only place in the world you're going to get that true peace.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The one that bled and died for you. My friend, you can go and you could grab a hold of Donald Trump's coattails, and if he wins the election, you could be vice president, or have some great elaborate office in his cabinet. My friend, but let me tell you something. You might someday become rich as some of those billionaires. But let me tell you, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. That's what you need. That's what the whole world needs. Boy, I could solve probably, I tell you what, I could solve just about 100% of the world's problems today with Christ Jesus. I tell you, he's a problem solver. I want you to know. Oh no, yes, sometimes I still have trouble. Sometimes I have problems. But I tell you what, I've got one that can take care of every one of them. Christ Jesus. So listen. You've got to hear the Word. Listen to the Word. I pray that you don't leave this place tonight unprepared for eternity. I pray that you leave this place a child of God, one of the blood-washed throng, leave this place clean and cleaned and bathed and washed in the blood of Jesus. But if you fail to make peace with Him tonight, you keep coming back and hearing the Word of God. You need to hear the Word. You need to listen to it. My friend, go home and read it. You know, and I know you'll be like the Ethiopian eunuch and you won't understand, because let me tell you, you can't really understand the Word of God without the Spirit of God directing you.
Man.
Oh, there's a lot of people that look at God's Word that don't know Jesus Christ and my friend, and they try to figure out what it means, and brother, they make the biggest mess it ever was. How do you think we got so many different beliefs in this world? Well, brother, I tell you what, if you have the Spirit of God, He can talk to you.
Amen.
He can direct you.
Amen.
But you need to listen.
And you need to trust. You need to believe. You need to call upon Him. Repenting of your sins. Faith in Christ Jesus. Repentance toward God. Well, let me tell you, those sins, you know, as I said, repentance is a turning away from the world and from sin. Let me tell you, if you've got some sort of sin that you say, well, you know, I want to be saved. You know, I really want to know what they're talking about. I really want to feel that peace and that joy. I want to have forgiveness of my sins. I don't want this trouble anymore. But you know, I just can't give up that sin over there. I tell you what, you're going to have to get to the point where you're willing to give it all up.
Amen.
Give it all up. What did Paul say? Paul talked about how that he was well educated. I might have mentioned this other night. I don't know if I might have mentioned it Sunday morning when I was preaching another sermon. It don't matter. But listen, my friend Paul was talking about how that he was a Jew, and how he was circumcised on the eighth day, and he was and we know that Paul was well studied. He was studied under Gamaliel, which was of the Sanhedrin council, and my friend, he was very intelligent. No doubt he could have been a man of stature. He my friend, in power in Jerusalem. But he said, I count it all dung for the excellency of knowing Christ Jesus. I count it all dung for the excellency of knowing Christ. He said, everything else is minuscule. It's small. It's nothing compared to knowing Christ, to being saved. That's the reason I say today, my friend, I don't have a lot in this world. I don't have a bank full of money. I open up my wallet, you might find a dollar bill or two. But I tell you what, brother, I'm one of the richest men in the world because I have Jesus.
Amen.
If you've got Jesus, brother, you've got something, my friend, that'll be much more benefit than a bank full of money.
Amen.
You give me Jesus, brother. Yeah, you can take the whole world, the song says, and give me Jesus. I've got Him tonight, bro. I love Him. I'm thankful for Him. He's mine and I'm His. Don't you want that sweet assurance? Oh, He gives me joy every day. I wake up in the morning and I say, you know, what are me and the Lord going to do today? How's He going to bless me today? I'll go to sleep at night and I know that He's going to keep me, you know. And if He decides to take me home, that's all right. He's going to take me home to be in His presence. That's the assurance you can have. If you'll just seek God, you've got to turn it all over to Him. Don't be like the young rich man that come and ask Jesus about being saved, what he must do. And Jesus quoted to him a few of the Ten Commandments. And he said, I've done these things since my youth. And Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. He said, sell all that you have and take up your cross and follow me. And the young man went away sorrowful because he had much riches. See? He had something that he valued more than knowing Jesus, than being a disciple of Christ. He didn't want to give those things up. Let me tell you something. It's worth it all to give it all up for Jesus. All up for the excellency and joy of knowing Him. You know, talks about a merchant man who was seeking one precious pearl of great price. Brother, let me tell you something. I believe that pearl of great price was, my friend, the knowing Jesus. It said over there that said the merchant man, he said he went and he found this pearl of great price and he hid it in a field. And he said he went and sold all so that he could buy and purchase that field, not for the field, but so he could possess that pearl. Do you want that pearl tonight? Do you want to possess that pearl? Do you want Him to possess you? Do you want Jesus tonight? My friend, I believe those that are lost, I don't know everyone's hearts here, but if you've heard the Word very much at all, I tell you, my friend, God has took care of His part. He's fulfilled fulfilled his responsibility. In fact, God done more than what he had to do. He didn't have to do anything.
Amen.
But he loved us. He loved you. Think about that. The creator of the world, the creator of all the universe, loved us, and he made a plan of salvation that we could be delivered from the eternal torments of hell and, my friend, the curse of sin. Sent his only begotten Son, and he suffered and bled and died. God has fulfilled his part. You're going to have, as the saying goes, the ball is in your court.
Amen.
You know, he's even here today. The Lord has made provisions. You know, I don't know how you come to be in this place tonight, but I tell you this, God had a hand in it. God had a hand in it. I don't know how you come to know about this little church sitting on the side of the road. Nashville's a big old city. You know, I'm just a country boy, grew up in Macon County. I tell you what, I just get, going down through here and all this traffic. And let me tell you, Nashville's a big place. But somehow God has brought you to this little building on the side of the road, on Nolensville Road, where the truth is being preached.
Amen.
Where the truth is being taught. He's brought you down to this hour. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, my friend. You need to seek God. Don't put it off any longer. My friend, surrender your all to Jesus tonight.
Amen.
You can leave this place a different person. You can leave this place prepared for eternity. You can leave this place with joy in your heart. You can leave this place with peace in your soul. You can leave this place with the Spirit of God taking up its abode in you. Those sins can be washed away if you just seek God tonight.
Amen.
That's what the Lord laid on my heart. If you're here and lost, this altar is open. I would beg you to come and seek God before it's everlasting too late. Pour your heart out and listen. Don't think that anybody's in a hurry to leave. I come from the old school, and I tell you about it, you ain't just as need to pray. If you want to pray all night, brother, I tell you, I'll be with you. As I said last night, when the sun comes up in the morning.
Amen.